First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringston.com. And while you're checking out LouisvillePolitics.com or EdSpringston.com, searching through our old stories and stuff, please join our email newsletter on our RSS feed. We can make sure you get a weekly newsletter on anything current that we have going. And certainly you'll get a reminder sent to your inbox on the radio show, complete with a podcast. So you never have to miss anything. For you guys that are new to the show, call-in numbers, as always, 858-683-1326, or you can call in the Louisville area at 502-805-0334. For you guys in the listening queue, we appreciate you each and every day, and just make sure you hit that number one on your dial pad so we can get you on air as soon as possible. And for everybody else, if you want, just join our live chat. There's always room in the chat room. You can join the chat room. You can sign in using Facebook, Twitter, or whatever else is available on social media for you. I tell you, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. And I start a lot of shows with that statement because, you know, we always have something going on. There's always more to the story than what we get through, you know, our regular mainstream media, things like that. There's always some kind of an angle coming out of these politicians, whether it be here in Louisville, Kentucky, you know, in the Commonwealth of Kentucky or in the United States government itself. And we never run out of things. Well, we're going to go to a lot of places tonight. But as always, I want to start with a couple of local quick things. You know, first of all, we've been talking about the Budget Committee. They're meeting right now at Metro Council. The full Metro Council is meeting right now down at 6th and Jefferson at City Hall for their semi-weekly or bi-weekly Metro Council full council meeting, and they're going to vote on the budget this week. The budget committee sent out a budget and everything else. We talked about a lot of that on Monday night, touched a little bit on it last night, but here's the thing. You know, the problem with this budget is the problem with the angle that the city leadership and Mayor Greg Fisher and the Democrat council members continue doing. It's always a bait and switch when it comes to money. They just approved an illegal tax just a couple of weeks ago, you know, by calling this a franchise fee and increasing our LG&E rates on a franchise fee for 80% of the people in the city, you know, by 2%. And the reason they said they needed this money was that they had to put money into public safety. We're going to hire 24 new officers. It's going to give us the money for overtime for police. We're going to fund all these youth programs. We're going to do all of these different things that are going to make it better for public safety and give our kids something to do, all because of one night, March 22nd of this year. And you know, some kids got stupid and decided they wanted to start some rioting and do some stupid stuff. Well, as it turns out, the proposed cuts that the council members will be voting on tonight are going to include cut, remind you, I mean, I want to remind you of that word, cuts, not additions, cuts. But they're proposing cuts to the budget that are going to include $425,000 in the Louisville Metro Police Department. They say it's mostly in officer overtime. They're going to cut $200,000 from what the mayor had originally slated for the youth programs. So remember, this youth violence that we had on March 22nd led to this franchise fee at LG&E, and all the money needs to go to public safety, but that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So just in those two expenditures alone, you're talking about $625,000. They're also going to cut $323,000 from public health and wellness that was supposed to go to local health centers. And they're going to cut another $100,000 from the low-income home energy assistance programs, which I find kind of funny myself. Low-income home energy assistance program. That reeks of people not having the money to pay their LG&E bill at the current rate. And the city added 2% higher to them. At the same time, they're cutting the assistance that they offer them for people who can't afford it anyway. Makes a lot of sense to me, right? But at the end of the day, that's somewhere around $1 million total that they're cutting. However, they had plenty of money to do some funding for the arts and social service organizations like the Healing Place and stuff, because they're going to increase their funding by $350,000. So how important was this public safety argument that Mayor Fisher and the Council of Democrats voted in to increase the franchise fee for LG&E? How important was that issue that it's going to affect public safety? Let's take the illegal tax off the table for just a second, because it's never off the table. But let's not even think about the illegal tax for just a second. Let's think about the fact that they lied to us once again. Your Democratic leadership in this town lied to us once again, because they're cutting public safety by $525,000 or $625,000 while they're increasing funding for the arts. You know, it's laughable to me, because one of the things that they tried to do here a few weeks ago is they decided to have a 3 or 4 day thing where every day there was something different to do that they were trying to get youth to get involved in. And what they were doing was poetry readings and art shows. Folks, gang members or poor children who are dodging gunfire every day and trying to survive in their daggone apartment complex or wherever they live at, primarily in the West End these days, sorry, that's the way it is, could care less about going to a poetry reading or an art show. But they're going to increase the funding for the arts. That was the setup for that. All right? Those things disturb me. On top of all of that, they're still going to borrow $31 million. They're going to borrow $31 million in the form of bonds, and they say that that's going to go to capital projects for everybody, which actually isn't very true either. Because Marianne Butler, decided not to allow any GOP capital projects to be considered in this budget. Democrat Marianne Butler decided that her and her fellow Democrats were the only ones who were going to be allowed to even look at a capital project. The capital budget lacked any capital spending projects in every Republican district. Now, but they're going to borrow $31 million to make sure the Democrats get their reelection slush fund, because that's what it is. But it amazes me, because when you think of borrowing that kind of money, to think that you had to put a franchise fee of 2% on the poor people in Louisville and LG&E, which is a monopoly, to think that they're going to borrow that kind of money when that fee is supposedly going to be somewhere around, it's going to increase revenue to the city somewhere around $2 to $2.5 million, depending on who you want to listen to. Why couldn't you borrow $33 million? It's not that much difference in money when you look at 30 years down the road, or however long it takes to pay the bond off. Or if you don't even want to do that, we just took the illegal tax wording off the table. So let's go a step further. Let's forget about the LG&E 2% raise all the way. Let's just take it out of the equation for just a minute. They just cut $625,000 from Louisville Metro Police Department and youth programs that they have used for justification to gouge us since March. Is there going to be a noticeable difference in the loan payments on the bonding or anything else from $31 million to $31.6 million? $600,000? That's a drop in the bucket. It's a drop in the bucket. So why did we have to cut these things that they lied to us about to get an LG&E franchise fee? And for every one of you Democratic council members who voted to allow this, I personally am going to do everything I can to make sure you've got competition in your next election. I can't do much about the ones that are on the ballot this year because write-ins never win. But I will make sure that you've got valid competition in your districts in the next election for those of you who are up next year. You can bet on that. And we're going to have a lot of things to talk about. But you got to think about this. Start looking at this logically. It really is disturbing to me. You know, and of course, they're going to put another $667,000 towards the public defender's office. So we've cut $625,000 out of police and public safety and youth programs. We've increased $667,000 towards the public defender's office. We've increased $350,000 towards the arts and other funding. You look at all of this. And by the way, when we talk about the money that we're talking about, these capital projects or whatever, you're looking at $300,000 for South Point Commons, $100,000 for Jefferson Memorial Forest, and then Ray Kreider and his lovely little daughter, Democratic Faithful, are going to get $150,000 for the Sun Valley Community Center so they can maintain whatever power they think they have. This is disturbing. These are the things that we need to talk about. And we're not getting there. We're going to get into the Kentucky budget in just a second because there's a lot of goofy stuff going on there. Well, but I want to tell you, this is another thing. We have talked repeatedly about how poorly Kentucky is looked at throughout the nation. We are looked at poorer, blacker, and older people, thanks to Jerry Abramson. And that's the way that we treat the people here in Louisville, primarily in the West End. Everybody, you know, you ever heard the old saying, barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen? That's the way it's perceived here in Kentucky, that every guy is barefoot playing in the dirt and every woman is barefoot, pregnant, in the kitchen. I know it's old school. I know that. And I know it don't sound very politically correct. I could care less about political correctness. But I'm trying to show you the depths of how bad people look at us. So what's the next thing on the agenda? We told you years ago reality TV was going to be the downfall of everybody. That we the sheep are so busy looking at other people's lives on so-called reality TV, which is anything but real, that they don't pay attention to what really is real. Well, now, to make sure that Kentucky gets denigrated further, especially Louisville, Kentucky, gets denigrated further, There's a new television show that's being taped and produced. It's going to be right here in Louisville. They're going to be begin airing a show called Deadbeat, Kentuckiana Child Support Court. No, I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. This is going to be a 30-minute reality show that's going to take you inside the Jefferson County Child Support Court and show you all the stuff that goes on in there. This paints Louisville, Kentucky in a great light. Seriously? Seriously? They hope, the hope is here, and you can go to the Courier Journal and read their story on this. I'll give them a link on this. But, you know, the show is going to follow child support cases from the courtroom to inside the jail to gain perspective on a growing problem plaguing single parents. That's the way they're describing it. That's the way they're describing it. I have problems with that. I really do. I just can't comprehend, you know, what are people thinking? I mean, really, what are people thinking? What are they thinking? I don't get it. I really don't. But that is going to be great. It's going to air on WBNA. And you know, I don't even going to tell you where and what time or anything else, because I'm that insulted by this. And, of course, they're going to pick and choose, you know, as they always do, what they consider newsworthy. So you're not going to see a dad in there with a deadbeat mom and what he's going through. You're not going to see a mom in jail for being behind on child support payments. Folks, there is as many moms that are deadbeat parents as are dads these days. But what you're going to see is the other side of it, because it fits the liberal agenda to make sure that everybody is portrayed as a deadbeat dad, because we can't even begin to fathom that a mom would do such a thing to her children. The mothers today are not the mothers of the 1950s that were portrayed in TV. Hell, the mothers in the 1950s weren't the mothers of the 1950s. But that's okay. But this is going to make Louisville and Kentucky look so great. So there you go. Let the stereotyping continue, folks, because that's just ridiculous. In other news, as I mentioned, Kentucky is ranked number 9 out of the top 10 most corrupt states. Is that a surprise to anybody? I mean, in Louisville, I want to see a city list, and I haven't had a chance to check that out and see if they rank cities that way. Because Louisville has to rank near the top two. The Commonwealth of Kentucky and the city of Louisville have been led by corrupt Democrats for decades. We are now beginning to reap what we sow. To think that Kentucky is number 9 in most corrupt states shouldn't surprise anybody. It really shouldn't. And speaking of Kentucky, announcement came out yesterday by Kentucky Auditor Adam Edelin. Adam Edelin has announced he was not going to run for governor in 2015. I repeat, he announced that he would not run for governor in 2015. So basically, he was bought off by the Democrats and Attorney General Jack Conway. It's the only thing I can figure. Adam Edelin was using the auditor's office, and don't get me wrong, I think the world of Adam Edelin. I think he has done one hell of a job as a Kentucky auditor. We were wondering if he was going to be able to fill the shoes of Crit Llewellyn, and I say he has more than filled the shoes of Crit Llewellyn. I think Adam Edelin has done one hell of a job making sure that he's as nonpartisan as he can be, considering he is a Democrat and wants to keep his job. I think he's done a hell of a job. But you can't convince me that you know, he wasn't interested in the governor's race right now. Now, of course, his statement says that he has a young family, even though his family was behind him on it. He just wasn't willing to make the sacrifices to be the governor that he had to make. You know, he didn't want to spend all the time it was going to take to build up name ID. So he wanted to spend the next 18 months at Little League baseball games with his kids and catching crooks, as he says. You know, and I can commend that. I really can. But at the same time, I don't think there's a better opportunity. So they're going to hand the Democratic nomination to Jack Conway. Dan Mongiardo says he might run, but really at the end of the day, are they going to let him win? They wouldn't even let him continue being lieutenant governor with Steve Beshear. He had to get out. So you're going to have Jack Conway pretty much as your Democratic nominee, and I think Adam Edlin would have been a 10 times better than Jack Conway. I really do. Edlin says he still wants to run for governor at some point, but it's not the right time right now. Okay, fair enough. And, of course, Greg Stumbo is being mentioned, or Greg Dumbo, as we call him, former U.S. Representative Ben Chandler, and as I mentioned, former Lieutenant Governor Daniel Maggiardo. You know, those guys are all being mentioned. You know, it's interesting because I think Adam Edelman really had a shot in this election. I don't think it will be easy in the next election. He's at least 8 years away, and quite frankly, primarily because, you know, the next election, you're going to have an incumbent. This year is wide open. Steve Beshear is done. He's done. So this year is wide open election for governor. And I think that should have come into play because now you're looking at least 8 years before you can really see a serious run by Adam Edelman, unless, of course, a Republican gets the governor's mansion. And if they do, either one, Hal Heiner or Jamie Comer are going to do a fantastic job. But I will say this. There is no way the people of Kentucky are going to let two Louisville guys be the ones to face off for governor next year. They're not going to allow Jack Conway being from Louisville and Hal Heiner being from Louisville to face each other as a Democrat and Republican candidates. So we have to look at all of this. We have to look at all of this. And it's really interesting. You know, so what does that mean? Does it mean that somebody like Dan Maggiardo beats Jack Conway or you know, so that Hal Heiner can run as Republican? Or does Jamie Comer beat Hal Heiner on the Republican ticket to face off against Jack Conway? Because you're not going to have two Louisville people doing that. And another thing that tells me is, as we always know, elections are corrupt. Elections are corrupt. I promise you, I'm not wrong. You're not going to see Jack Conway versus Hal Heiner. It's just not going to happen. So it's going to be interesting going forward and how that's going to work. I tell you, we're going to go ahead and take our first break of the night. We're going to take our first break of the night. And when we get back, we'll continue a little bit more with Kentucky corruption. Move on to Kentucky budget, and there's a whole host of other things we really want to get into. This rock mess is another disturbing trend. Freedom is gone. So there's a lot of things we'll talk about. So stick around. You're listening to the Ed Spreckster Show. We'll be right back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
And we are back. We are back. I tell you, I don't know, Paul. That's a good question. You know, I'm looking at the chat room right now. Our good friend Paul Holliger over Stop It is in there. And he's actually giving us a breakdown of some of the corruption, public corruption convictions. And convictions are very, very interesting here. But according to the information that Paul has out there, Kentucky actually breaks down convictions for public corruption into two parts. You have the Eastern District and the Western District. The Western District, of course, includes Louisville. But it is fascinating. For the period of 2001 to 2010, the Eastern District Federal Court had a total of 227 public corruption convictions. The Western District, of course, which is everybody else, right? That includes Louisville. The Western District only had 54 public corruption convictions. And, of course, that includes Louisville, and Louisville, of course, is the largest city in Kentucky. So, yeah, Paul asked the question, is somebody being protected? In my opinion, Paul, yes. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We know that Jim King was protected. We know that his daughter, Judge Katie King, was protected. I don't think you can make any doubt about that. I think I proved the case very well, and I think that they were protected from beginning to end. They paid a paltry fine. It was the highest fine in Kentucky history, and I'm proud of that. But it was still a paltry fine of $30,000 against a mega millionaire. So, you know, yeah, I think they're being protected. And when we look at the stuff that's going on, I mean, really, truthfully, you know, when we talk about Kentucky being one of the top 10 corrupt states, number 9, you know, the article that we took this from, all the research was done with Indiana University. And the City University of Hong Kong. So, and this was all done through policymike.com. I'll put that link in the chat room right now for you guys that are there. You know, and you can look over this yourself. But it is very interesting because, you know, the top 10 from this study, they looked at 25,000 convictions of violating federal anti-corruption laws between 1976 and 2008. 25,000 convictions. Okay, and they created what's called a corruption index. It compared the convictions and the amount of government employees, and they determined the top 10 most corrupt states, again, one of which included Kentucky. Well, I'll just read them all to you. Number one was Mississippi, followed by Louisiana, Tennessee, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Alabama, Alaska, South Dakota, then Kentucky, and Florida rounded out the top 10. But it goes on to mention that not only do these states have excessive state spending, but they also spend more money in the areas of the government that are susceptible to corruption. The examples they used? Construction jobs, governmental employee wages, and law enforcement. Think about that. They said the government that these particular states spend more money in the area of government that is easiest to be corrupt in. Construction jobs, government wages, and law enforcement. Now you think about that. And they also pointed out, of course, the money we spend on these big infrastructure projects that you're not fully transparent to the public. This is where the money comes from for extortion, bribes, and kickbacks. They mentioned that. They also pay police and correction officers higher wages. They mentioned that. And then, you know, they talk about public welfare, education, and health, and see those things. So, and the reason those are so corrupt, because they don't get much state funding. That usually comes from federal funding. Which doesn't really matter to me whether state or federal or local. It's still our money. They don't make money. It's our money. It's our tax money. We pay it. I love it when people say, well, the feds pay for this, not the state. Who gives a crap? Who gives a crap? I'm still paying for it, and so are you. But I thought that was really funny. And here is one reason why. One of the things that we talk about, when we talk about corruption, we talk about budgets, we talk about all these other things. Very interesting sequence of events just last week. Last week, I think it was a week ago today, it was last Thursday, I guess, there was a story run first thing in the morning about a Jack Conway. You know, we're trying to build him up to be the next governor, right? Trying to build him up to be the next governor. Well, tobacco companies have agreed to pay Kentucky more than $110 million to settle a 10-year legal battle over our share of the Tobacco Masters Settlement Agreement. As everybody knows, we ran, you know, the tobacco companies out of Louisville because we agreed to jump on the money train and force them to pay us money for a tobacco settlement that personally a lot of people don't think we were entitled to, but that's okay. That's okay. But in 1998, tobacco companies agreed to pay out $229 billion to all the states and territories, and they spread it out over a bunch of years, for the cost of treating smoke-related illnesses. They also agreed to restrict their advertising. They agreed on a ban on marketing to youth, all of these things, right? So in 2003, though, the big tobacco companies accused Kentucky of not collecting all of the taxes it was supposed to. Why? Because lots of smaller tobacco companies did not participate in the settlement, so they were not subject to the restrictions of the settlement, which means they could advertise and do the other things they wanted to do. So Kentucky agreed to charge those companies more taxes as a way to level the playing field against the people like Philip Morris and Brown and Williamson. So they accused Kentucky of not doing that, so they started withholding some of our annual payments. And they've been fighting over those payments since 2003. So we've got 11 years later, nothing's changed, nothing's really done anything, and lo and behold, we want Jack Conway, the Democrat, to get a real shot at governor, so we're going to praise his graces for the next 18 months as being the guy who got this settlement from the tobacco companies after a big fight for all these years. Wow, I feel so much better now. So, you know, according to Conway, in November, Jack Conway said he began a secret negotiations with these tobacco companies trying to work out a settlement. So according to the terms of the agreement, which Jack Conway signed last week, Kentucky will get $110.4 million of these disputed payments in the 2014 fiscal year. Now I want you guys to think about this. We just had the budget process, right? Our Kentucky Congress just went through and approved their next two-year budget. They did that before they left in March. Isn't it funny that Thursday morning, this release was put out real quick to make sure that Jack Conway could get full advantage of the media on this and take credit for this. But it's interesting that late that afternoon, there was another article put out about Kentucky facing a budget shortfall. You can go to WMKentucky.org for this one. It's funny because according to the article that was put out a few hours after the tobacco settlement was released, state budget director and former Louisville budget director, and in my opinion, crooked, Jane Driscoll, Jerry Abrams' best buddy, said that the state will have to raise revenues by about 12% to make up for a nearly $28 million hole that's going to grow larger if our revenues continue to underperform. Now think about that. Just a few hours after we announced we got a $110 million windfall, now all of a sudden we got a $28 million short hold, and they still want to try to figure out how to raise revenues by 12%. What does that mean? New taxes or new franchise fees, if you will. Beshear, of course, was taking all kinds of credit. Governor Beshear was taking all kinds of credit for restoring education funding during our Kentucky State Congress budget negotiations. He restored education funding. Everybody's getting funding now. Even JCPS is getting, you know, a few million dollars more. Everybody's happy. And we get a $110 million windfall in the morning, and by the afternoon we're $28 million short somewhere. Now, did they forget? Did they forget in their scheme to try to screw the people and lie to the people that you put out the $28 million hole first and then let Jack Conway follow later in the afternoon with $110 million, giving us a surplus? showing us with this big surplus of this how the Democrats have saved Kentucky? Did they get the press releases in the wrong order? I don't know. But these are the things that make me think. And, of course, Steve Beshear goes on to talk about, you know, the investments we're making in the next 2 years and things like education of our kids are not going to be touched. We're not going to interfere with what great steps we have taken to move education forward in Kentucky. Let's translate that for you. We have made great strides in making sure our union brothers and sisters in education will continue to support Democrats at all costs because we have lied and cheated the people in the state to make sure that we can buy them off and get their vote. That's essentially what they're saying. How can we have a $28 million hole after a $110 million agreement? Where's the lie, folks? Where's the lie? That's the question. You know, as if that isn't bad enough, we know that there's going to be a coal fight in Kentucky, which is going to affect our revenues even more. It's going to affect our revenues even more. As a matter of fact, Gina McCarthy, the head of the EPA, was on Bill Maher's show, and Bill Maher specifically said, some people call this a war on coal. I hope it is a war on coal. Is it? That was his question to Gina McCarthy, the head of the EPA. Gina McCarthy agreed that that's exactly what this is. It's a war on coal. That's exactly what this is. Now, let's look at this realistically, folks. Clean coal technology has come a hell of a long way. But in Kentucky, it is a primary part of our infrastructure. Just to give you some idea how important coal is, a Heritage Foundation analyst decided that these anti-coal policies are going to destroy more than 500,000 jobs. You heard me right. 500,000 jobs are going to be destroyed. They're gone. That's it. No more. How much is that going to add to the burden of Kentucky? Additionally, it's going to reduce the income by a family of four more than $1,400 a year. It's going to increase electricity prices. Now, remember, that's a big deal right now, right? With LG&E and everything else. It's going to increase electricity prices at least 20%. Now, we just reduced the low-income, you know, energy assistance program for our poor people and our old people. We just got rid of all that. Now, in addition to raising the LG&E fee here, Kentucky depends on coal for everything. Now electricity prices are going to go up another 20% because of this. And it's going to be a lot higher in states that depend heavily on these coal-fired power plants right in the Midwest. Because at the end of the day, they have not found anything to replace it that is cost-effective and affordable that we can live with, that we can afford. Coal still produces 37% of all the nation's electricity. Think about that. Drive through your neighborhood. Almost 4 out of every 10 homes that you see still rely on nothing but coal for their electric needs. So you think this isn't some kind of a daggone war on coal? The EPA admits to it. You got people like Allison Lundgren Grimes who is ignoring it, working with Harry Reid in some kind of a grand scheme. Those things are important, folks. Those things are important. And speaking of stupidity in government, here's another curveball for you. I'm just going right down the list here, guys. I tell you, it's one of those nights where I just want to get everything in as much as I can. Government Motors, and yes, I still refer to them as Government Motors, they have never been paid completely back on the daggone money that we gave them, no matter what the daggone president is trying to lie to you about. But Government Motors just had to tell us they've got yet another recall. They had to recall 3.36 million more vehicles that were built between 2000 and 2014 that were sold right here in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Why did they have to do that? The car's ignition switches. the car's ignition switches. Now, you know, this has been quite an embarrassment for GM all the way through. But when the government got involved and started helping make decisions, regardless of what they were telling everybody, and giving them our tax money to save their butt and everything else, you know, this is disturbing. It's very disturbing. It's going to include the Cadillac DeVille, the Buick Regal, Cadillac DTS, the Buick LaCoste, Chevy Monte Carlo, all kinds of things. Chevy Impala, but the Impala is the only one that's still in production. You know, so you look at all of this stuff and you're thinking, wow, wow. This is unbelievable. And then, of course, they had to announce five more recalls that are going to cover just 165,000 cars. But the 2013 and 14 Cadillacs have some problems with the shift cable. The pickups have power steering problems. You know, the all-wheel drives are having a problem with gasket leaks that will cause their airbags to deploy. Think about this stuff. Think about this stuff. That's your government at work. These guys can't even figure out how to work one business in America correctly with government motors. These guys know business. These are the lies of deception. How do these guys know anything? How can they sit here and represent us and not have a clue what the hell they're doing? How can we, the people, sit back and watch it? It's funny. And I tell you, the funniest story of all, I'm getting to right now, Paul, don't worry. I'm getting to it right now. The funniest story of all, I guess, for the day is the IRS. This is the most hilarious. For a couple of years now, Congress has been demanding information from the IRS to include Lois Lerner's emails. The IRS has not complied at all. On Tuesday, House Ways and Means Chairman Dave Camp told the whole world that the IRS can not only not produce or account for Lois Lerner's emails for the last 2 years, which they admitted the day before, now all of a sudden there's six more employees whose hard drives mysteriously failed. All of which are tied to the IRS illegal crackdown on conservative groups. The hard drives failed for Lois Lerner and the six people involved. It's a miracle, isn't it? Now you think about the thousands of employees who work with the IRS all over the country. And you think about everything that goes along with all this. And it's just a pure coincidence that the seven people involved in this IRS scandal were the only ones whose computers had failed, that their hard drives had failed. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Of the six, or the seven, I should say, not only Lois Lerner, but of the remaining six, Nicole Flax, the former chief of staff to the former IRS commissioner, Stephen Miller, was involved. Now, you ask me, since at least June of 2013, as a matter of fact, on June 4th of 2013, the House Oversight Chairman Daryl Issa had asked and requested that the IRS provide all documents and communications sent by, received by, or copied to Lois Lerner between January the 1st, 2009 and the present, which would have been June of 2013. Now, there was no hesitation in the wording. There was nothing wrong with the wording at all. He said he wanted to include all emails. At the beginning of 2014, They sent the request again, so they wanted all of Lois Lerner's email, regardless of subject matter. And according to the IRS at that time, to fulfill the request, they had to go beyond the search terms that originally loaded for review. So they said, we're going to give you everything you asked for, but we have to take more time. By mid-March, the IRS said it had produced for Congress only the emails of Lois Lerner that it considered related to the scandal. Daryl Issa never asked to pick and choose. They wanted all email, and the IRS played games with it. So, essentially, the IRS had been deciding what they're going to release and what they're not, which is in violation of what the request was for. And they bought time. They bought time to figure out exactly who all was involved, where they were at, and destroy the computers thinking that we can't have access. But you know what? Every one of those damn things were linked through a server somewhere. The hard drive on an individual computer may fail, but there are records of this, of these emails, that can be gotten through other sources. Maybe some of those emails were forwarded to the President of the United States. Have we not requested his emails, and why not? Or Attorney General Eric Holder. Or they're sitting in a cloud somewhere, on a server, somewhere. But these emails can still be gotten, and they're still playing games. It should be an insult to every single one of us. I must have done something wrong because I've got a good friend, Paul Holliger from Stop It Online. I was just talking about you a minute ago, sir. How are you?
Ed, if we behaved like our government behaves, we would be arrested.
We'd be dead.
In some cases. I appreciate, as a guy with a computer background, I appreciate your presumption that somewhere in the vast ether world of the government servers that there might be a copy that's kind of stashed away somewhere that people forgot about.
Is that a wrong assumption of me?
Normally, under normal circumstances, it is not. But
okay.
I think you need to temper that a tad. Because you, along with many other folks, have declared that this is one of the most corrupt political governments that this country has ever had.
Right.
And it is not accidental. It is clearly, as the evidence suggests, by design these days. All right? So if they are as this corrupt in running the government, don't you think that there is nothing off the table when it comes time to cleaning up after themselves? I think you might be optimistic that there is a trail, communications trail, but these folks are pretty devious. They're pretty damn devious. So I put nothing past them. Nothing.
Well, I don't disagree with you there. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that, you know, there are other things we can look at. Now, whether it proves anything or not, you're right. I don't know, because I think they are that devious myself. I'll agree with you on that. But it's interesting, you know, the most interesting part of this, though, for me, and by the way, folks, just to give credit where it's due, this is the Wall Street Journal article. This is out of the Wall Street Journal. This isn't, you know, some fly-by-the-pants story. This is from Wall Street Journal. Everybody recognizes them as a legitimate source for whatever reason. But when I look at this, though, the interesting thing to me, Paul, is you do a lot of open record requests. I do a lot of open record requests, or I have. I have to have other people do a lot of them now because they like to screw with my stuff too much. But it's interesting because here you've got the House Oversight Chairman, Daryl Issa, who put out a subpoena, which is basically, you know, an open records request with some meat behind it, right? That says he wants all documents and communications sent by, received by, or copied to Lois Lerner. And the IRS admits that they picked and chose what they wanted to release and what they didn't, that they didn't include all of that. And that's the same thing that we have to fight every day on open records requests. We will give a specific open record request, you know, to Louisville government or to the state government or wherever in the hell we're going, we'll do this, all this official open record request all information, and they do the same thing to us as private citizens. Now the government is doing it to themselves. What are they scared about? Why are they so scared of sunshine?
The answer to that is apparent. When you're doing crooked stuff, you don't want other people, that you don't want people to find out about it. You definitely go out of your way to hide it. That's what, throughout the course of human history, dastardly, devious, evil people do that kind of stuff. They do that. And they don't care what the consequences is to the body politic at large, so long as they get their way. Here's the thing that's even more damaging than just the fact that these people are finding ways to commit criminal acts, protect themselves, and probably profit handsomely from it. And that is the example that it sets, okay, has everyone under this type of government start rationalizing by saying, if the elected leaders do it, I'm going to do it too.
That's true.
And that is very destructive to a civilized society.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And you know, this is the pattern of behavior, you know. This is what I tell everybody, and I've always told everybody. People will only give you what you're willing to accept. So if we're willing to accept this from our so-called leaders, you know, we elect these people, so we're clearly willing to accept what they give us, you know, then, you know, leaders that lead by example is another thing we've often been told throughout our lives. Leaders lead by example. So if that's the example that they're setting, well, of course people are going to follow that example. Because typically, most people are followers in life. They're not leaders. There are very few. I mean, if you want to look at the big picture, there are very few people that can be considered leaders. So you're going to follow the leader. And if you're following the leader, it's like, here's a good example. You take the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds. You know, these guys fly in formation. Everybody thinks they're looking at their gauges and all this other stuff. They're not doing that. When these guys are flying in a formation at an air show or something, they're watching the guy next to them and maintaining the distance. And every one of them, all you're looking at is the guy in front of you or beside you. You've got a leader that leads every one of these guys through formation. So if you remember a few years ago, we had a big crash that wiped out the Blue Angels. Why did that happen? How could that be? Because the guy that was in front, the leader of the Blue Angels, got too low and plowed into the ground with his aircraft, and everybody else just followed the leader and crashed. Everything crashed because the leader made a mistake. And it's the same thing in life. That's what we do. Would you agree with that?
I think that your example can be vividly illustrated by the fact that in a lot of American cities in particular, including Louisville, we have a gang problem. And the gangs are doing what they do because they say the elected officials are officially engaged in theft and robbery.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do it too. We're just going to do it a slightly different way. And a lot of these gangbangers, they don't get particularly worried about getting caught, because if they get caught, they're going to get into the justice system, and many of them cut a deal and they avoid prison time altogether. So again, when every citizen looks at the government people doing engaged in the very same kind of behavior as a street level gang thug, they're saying,
yep,
I'm going to do it too because I can't stop it. And so,
well, there you go.
And now we've got the Internal Revenue Service, you know, one of the probably the most feared government agency on this planet, is engaging in misbehavior, and now people are going to say, why should I worry about being honest on taxes, which was already a problem before the IRS scandals, but I think this is going to exacerbate that. The IRS is going to have an even tougher time collecting.
Think there's any doubt, and I don't think there's any doubt in that, and I tell you, if there's any glimmer of hope at all, for me anyway, you know, we continue to look at today's youth. Our good friend Dale Gillespie says our public schools are public indoctrination camps. And I'm actually to the point where I actually agree with that. I'm really to that point where I just seem to believe there's some truth to that statement. You know, but what we have to do is find a way to educate our kids, right? But I'm not talking about reading a math book and a science book, folks. I'm talking about educating our kids to the realities of life. We don't do that anymore. The realities of life is the biggest gang in America is the federal government, in my opinion. Elected officials are the biggest gang we have when we talk about gangbangers. Look at Democrats versus Republicans. It's Crips versus Bloods. Seriously. But it's interesting, and the reason I bring up the school portion of that, as I mentioned a minute ago, Steve Beshear bought the union vote again for Democrats, and he used education as the way to do that. Well, here we go. According to Fox News, and I don't care if you like the source, it's all over the place, but according to Fox News, and I'll actually put a YouTube link to the story, or to the, I'll put a YouTube link right now in the chat room for those of you who want to look at it. But it's interesting because there's a high school senior, in Connecticut. Remember, Connecticut is the home of the Newtown Massacre, right? And we'll get into gun violence and stuff some other time. We're not going to have time tonight. But this high school student spoke out at a school board meeting. And Paul, I'm not sure what the background noise is. I apologize.
It's okay. It's gone.
Okay. But a high school student in Connecticut spoke out at a school board meeting this week. Why? Because he was unable to view conservative websites on school computers. 18-year-old senior Andrew Lampert, who is a senior at Nottawog High School in Connecticut, says that the school computers are blocking and using censorship through the firewall to make sure conservative websites can't be looked at. And here's why. And he showed printed material. If you go to the link that I just put in, folks, you'll see a WCTI story, news story about it. And he's got the paperwork right there showing where it was blocked. But he was supposed to be doing some research because they were going to have a discussion and a debate over gun control as part of one of his classes. So he went onto the school's computer to do research. He went to the NRA's website, or tried to go to the NRA's website, to get their side and get a well-rounded view of things. But they wouldn't allow him. The website was blocked. But yet, he could go to any website he wanted to that would advocate stricter gun control laws. He could go to Moms Demand Action. He could go to the Newtown Action Alliance. All of these sites, these liberal sites that are about gun control, he could access. But he couldn't access a site like the NRA so that he could get information for this debate. So he tried to log into the state's Democratic Party website. Guess what? He could get there. No problem. Let him go right through. But when he tried to run into the Connecticut GOP site, it was blocked. So he decided he was going to go a step further and start checking out websites on abortion and religion. Right to life groups were blocked on his school computer, the public school computer. But yet Planned Parenthood and Pro-Choice America were allowed. He tried to get on websites like Christianity.com. He even tried to get on the Vatican's website. They were blocked. But IslamGuide.com, he could go to. He went to the superintendent of the schools. Nothing was done in a week, so he went to the Board of Education Monday to talk to them about it. Now, when we talk about public schools versus public indoctrination camps, I think this story clearly adds merit to our good friend Dale the Truth's, you know, statement that public schools are public indoctrination camps. You're allowed to talk about it. You're allowed to research abortion. You're allowed to research gun control. You're allowed to research all of these different things. You're allowed to research Islam. But if you try to get a rounded view and look at the other side, you're not. So doesn't that make all the difference in the world? Our children are being taught a certain way of life because of an agenda. When I was in school, I was challenged to learn. I was challenged to look at both sides of an issue and make up my own mind. I could debate with anybody. Paul, I'm sure you could too. But this is what we've come to in our education of our youth. We're more concerned about them being able to get a well-rounded education and come up with their own opinions and viewpoints and let them be individuals, that we've got to indoctrinate them and basically brainwash them into believing a set that one particular party wants to approve of. Are you insulted by that?
All the great dictatorships throughout history have sought to control the sources of information. Going all the way back to feudal times, Ed, when the only people allowed to have any type of an education were the aristocracy. The common folks were not even allowed to get that education. You control the media you control the people. And in this case here, they're raising a whole bunch of little sheeple for the future. The good news is that the sheeple that they're raising, they will ultimately realize that that they have been misled. And it's going to take a while before they rise up, but I think that they will. Here's what's going to be the trigger, Ed. This current crop of sheeple in school have got a whole bunch of really cool toys, and they've got a pretty good life at the moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
our economic system is on the verge of collapsing, and when it collapses, it's going to hurt everybody pretty badly, including this younger bunch. That's when they will say, that's when they'll realize they have been lied to and used. And, you know, when a human being realizes that they've been lied to and used, they mm-hmm. want what? They want vengeance.
You betcha. And see, I agree with what you're saying, and I guess what I'm getting at is I say that I do have some hope for the future sometimes, because just last week we reported a story about 9 students in California, of all places, sued the courts because they weren't getting the proper education from teachers because of seniority rules.
I saw that yesterday. Great story.
Yeah. Oh, well, we covered it last week, and I loved it because here in California, of all places, the kids were saying, hey, look, we want to learn. Give us somebody that can teach us. Forget this seniority crap and holding on to deadbeats who don't do their job. And now you've got a kid on the other side of the daggone continental United States in Connecticut who's telling a school board meeting, quit censoring me. Let me make up my own mind. I'm 18 years old. I'm a high school senior. What have you taught me if I'm not allowed to pursue information? So we went from censorship and all this. I think when you put all those things together, I think it does prove the fundamental argument that our good friend Dale the Truth does. And we don't agree on everything. We've argued on air many times, and I've never agreed with the public indoctrination camp philosophy of Dale the Truth. But I can't help but see all these different stories that are coming to light now and say, hey, you know what? Maybe he's right. But more importantly, you know, to Andrew Lampert out of Connecticut, you know, I only can do one thing, man. All I can do is say thank you. Thank you very much. All I can do is, well, you know what? This is for you. But I tell you, at the end of the day, Paul, at the end of the day, if the children are our future, then folks like these guys in California, these kids in California, and this kid in Connecticut, deserve a lot of credit for having the guts to stand up. You know what I mean? And maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe we are a few years away, but hopefully, you know, these young adults, I guess I should say instead of kids, but these young adults will lead the way, because tomorrow's leaders come from today's child. So I hope so anyway. We're out of time. I went a little bit in overdrive. Paul, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it, as always. Folks, you know, you can't help it sometimes, but you get frustrated. You can't really help but get frustrated. You know, Paul mentioned gangbangers, and, you know, and I think that applies to our government-elected officials, because the Democrats and Republicans are acting like nothing more than gangbangers. As I mentioned a minute ago, the Crips versus the Bloods. That's what it is. You have to look at things realistically in this country and be willing to deal with the truth before you can ever decide to move forward. The truth is the Uniparty is alive and well. The Bloods take over this hill. The Crips back off. The Crips regroup. They get more members. Then they take over the hill back. And then the vice versa. It goes on and on and on. That's the way it works. It's not a matter of what's good for we the people. This representative republic government that we're supposed to have isn't about of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's about of the gang, by the gang, and for the gang. And we call these people Democrats and Republicans. And until we're willing to accept that reality, I don't think there's much we're going to be able to do to change it. But then I look at guys like Andrew Lampert in Connecticut. I look at these 9 students in California And I look at our young people begging to be educated. We look at a Democratic leadership who is failing to do that. We look at illegal immigration running rampant across our borders. As a matter of fact, there's a story out today. We didn't get into it tonight. But the Department of Homeland Security is actually going to pay a private company to help bring in across our borders a minimum of 65,000 children under the age of 17 and lower, illegal minors. They're going to bring them in here. The Department of Homeland Security is bringing them in. What does that do? It takes away the resources we don't have. It makes America get closer and closer to that bankruptcy stage. Why in the hell are we importing poor people and giving them free education, benefits, and everything else, spending billions of dollars that we don't have from other nations when we're not even taking care of Americans? We didn't get into that story tonight. We'll get into it next week, I assure you. But these things are disturbing. But until you can wake up to the reality that Democrats and Republicans are nothing more than Crips and Bloods, it's going to continue to get a lot worse. That's it for tonight. Sunday night at 7 o'clock, our good friend Kim Mullen with Liberty Unbridled will be here, and I will be back on Monday at 7 as usual. In the meantime, folks, have a great week, great weekend, I should say, and thank you so much for listening. Take care. God bless.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"